person, woman, man, camera, TV.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 114 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the man who always nails his cognitive tests, Brian. Brian, how you doing this week, my friend?
I'm doing amazing. I did three cognizant tests this week. Passed the first two splendidly. It was a beautiful test, wonderful test. The doctors said they had never seen somebody who scored as highly as I did on the test. Nice. The third one, I kind of lost focus. I was worrying about other things, and then I still passed, which is really the important part. How are you doing, more importantly?
You know what? Can't complain. Trying to survive with this heat wave we have gripping the Northeast this week. So hot out, so it's nice to be inside in the air conditioning and doing a podcast with my best friend.
Oh. So,
shall we start the festivities off with some drinking?
I believe so.
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Who's? Drink of the week. Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
All right. Well, we have something exciting this week, something we teased a while back. We're not able to get it. So we are excited. Brian, would you like to hold up? You were able to find it this week. It was very exciting. Little Four Loko hard seltzer. There we go, right there. With a hint of black cherry, 12% alcohol. It's going to be an interesting night. Brian, I've never had a Four Loko, much less a Four Loko hard seltzer. What about you?
I believe we are both losing our virginities at the same time, which reminds me of that time in college.
We don't want to talk about that while we're live on the air. Would you like to take the first sip or would you like me to?
I believe I'm going to defer to you. I would like to have the opportunity for the bottom of the ninth. Okay. So I'm going to let you start off. What are your feelings right now? Are we talking trepidation, nerves?
A word that was right at the tip of my tongue, fear almost, paranoia. We'll see. Let me just hold on. I'll let you know in a second.
I've never had a Four Loko. I heard a lot about it. High alcohol, caffeine.
It's not bad.
What?
I'm not going to lie. And I'm not a huge hard seltzer fan. But it's not a heavy malt taste to it. And it does have that. It smells dangerous. Yes, I will give you that.
It smells disgusting.
But it is surprisingly tasty. Take a big sip like I did. I think you will be pleasantly surprised. You even get the black cherry. It's more than a hint of black cherry. It's a decent black cherry flavor in there.
Hold on a second. Oh, it's very carbonated, first off. So I'm going to be burping a lot. It does not have that malt beverage flavor that I tasted in the White Claw. That I have, by the way, White Claw is now canceled. It's now, all claws matter beverage.
Okay.
It's we can't call it White Claw anymore. This isn't bad, but I do feel like I'm going to be incredibly fucking sloppy during the After Dark portion of our weekly podcast.
I mean, how is that different from normal? We're being brutally honest at the moment.
You know what? No. When I get called on my bullshit, I own up to it. It's you're right. I tend to hit the sauce a little bit during the podcast. So when we do our 30-minute After Dark, which you can only hear on Patreon, is that correct? It's only available on Patreon.
Well, except for this evening, we are going to be live on Twitch at 9:30 tonight. So those of you who are not Patreon subscribers yet can go ahead and check us out. If you do want to become a Patreon subscriber, we'll just leave that scrolling there. Go to ronandbrianpodcast.com, upper right corner, become a patron. There is a bit of an aftertaste to the Four Loko. Now that I've had a few sips of it, it's an aftertaste that lingers. It tastes like regret, I guess, if I had to put a name to that taste. So the initial is good. I feel the long-term effects will be not so pleasant.
And I'll tell you, I have there was a moment in my life that I would compare to drinking this Four Loko.
And what was that?
Once again, when I was in college, I went to visit one of my college professors because I was currently failing the test.
Okay.
And he sat there and said to me, there are certain, maybe you can do some extra credit if you want to score some extra points. And I was just like, oh my God, this is great. I thought this was going to be bad. This is turning out way better than I thought it was going to be. Hence the sip of the Four Loko.
There you go.
And the aftertaste from the Four Loko was what I tasted as he was pulling up his pants right before he threw me out of his office because I wanted to rinse my mouth out with some mouthwash immediately.
All right. Just a quick shout out to listener Masked Sanity out there. While he doesn't have any Four Loko, it's still a thrill to be able to enjoy a drink during the live Drink of the Week segment. We agree. In fact, I don't know. Can we give the Four Loko thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'm going to say only because it's a 12% alcohol that what we do is we wait till the end of the episode, if either of us remember, and then we rate it. Because right now, just on flavor alone, I'm going to have to say never again.
All right. So, Brian.
But I'm going to say I have another one in my beer fridge right now, just in case this one goes real smooth. And I'm feeling like I want to roll the dice. Got another one. So you don't have a Twitch account, go sign up right now because I'm getting sloppy in Twitch.
All right. And it's the mango one is the next flavor. So you'll have to let me know when you do eventually partake how the mango compares to the black cherry.
And that's going to remind me of the time I was going to college in the Bahamas. It was a more tropical climate.
We get it. Pants were pulled up. We get it. There's an aftertaste. We get it. So now you had some more information about another new sponsor. We had a little issue last week when you brought Goya to the table. So hopefully you have learned from last week. So I am very curious to hear who you have signed up as a sponsor now.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, last week we had a fiasco. I don't think anybody could have expected that an honorable brand like Goya would have gone down in flames so fast without much notice. So I want to apologize as that was something that, Ron, you had assigned me to do. I was to find the sponsors so this way we could be we could quit our day jobs. Well, I could quit my day job. The point being is just the fact that, I want to apologize because from now on, I'm going to be doing a better job vetting our sponsors.
All right. Well, that's good.
All right. So can I do the read now?
Yeah, I think, we might as well, give them their money's worth, get them right off the bat.
All right. Earlier today, the Department of Labor announced that almost 32 Americans collected unemployment benefits for the week ending July 4th. 32, that's a staggering 32 million Americans collected unemployment. Yes, millions. That's a staggering number. There's no joke here about your employment situation, Ron. None whatsoever. We all know you are gainfully employed and a productive member of our society. But I digress. This week's sponsor is making their best effort to provide temporary employment to those Americans who are hurting today. Do you like traveling? Do you enjoy protecting this country from the forces that are looking to bring it down? Have you ever felt the desire to enjoy the Pacific Northwest and all it has to offer? Have you ever wanted to go visit Chicago during a heat wave in the summer? Have you ever wanted to shoot tear gas into a crowd of peaceful protesters?
Brian, tell me.
Listen, I don't step on your lines. Can you just let me do what I do?
All right, go ahead.
We'll edit this out in post.
Of course.
The Department of Homeland Security is here to help you. Join the DEHS by providing security services, defending the country against the anarchy brought by Antifa and the dangerous left-leaning criminals. Brian. That's right.
Brian.
What? What?
I gotta stop you again. So you are basically, we're putting an ad out there for jobs for people that want to go shoot rubber bullets at protesters in major cities across the United States.
That's a byproduct of what they're keeping the country safe. They're keeping national statues, national offices, government built. They're keeping America safe.
I feel that you may have dropped the ball yet again this week. I'm a little disappointed. I mean, I've got all these new features available to me through this new platform we're on. For example, when you're reading, I can just turn your mic off like that. And if you're trying to continue your read, no one's going to hear you moving forward. But I'll put you back on if you don't continue to read that. I'm afraid we're going to have to tear up yet another agreement. Don't make me.
I can't do that.
Look, see, I can make myself big and you small, which that I like also. Or I can just, you know, get ready altogether. But regardless, Brian,
Ron, I have a signed contract.
Really?
I have a signed contract.
Well, fortunately, government doesn't sign contracts, so we can just kind of throw that in the trash.
So you're saying we can't take their money?
I think you kind of dropped the ball again this week. But in the meantime,
they said they were going to pay in Trump bucks.
Let's just move on then for a little this week in racism.
This
week
in
racism.
All right, so. Only one page this week, Brian. So,
Are we winning the war?
Hopefully, we're winning the war, but we'll see. First story we have this week: the man who constantly seems to be doing a Thurston Howell III cosplay, Roger Stone, was being interviewed on the radio this past week by Morris W. O'Kelly. When O'Kelly pushed back at Stone's assertions that he did not receive a fair trial and commented that he thought Stone had benefited by knowing the president. Stone was then heard to say, quote, "I don't really feel like arguing with this Negro." Stone then went on right afterwards to deny that he had just said that. So it's Stone isn't going to prison. Just an over and around great guy. ABC News Senior Vice President Barbara Fedida, who was accused of making racially insensitive remarks while also overseeing diversity programs for the network, was fired after an independent investigation showed that she had made inappropriate comments on the job. During contract negotiations with Robin Roberts, Fedida told colleagues that it wasn't like ABC was asking Roberts to, quote, pick cotton. She also called The View co-host Sonny Hostin low rent, while suggesting former ABC correspondent Kendis Gibson was worth less than toilet paper. It was revealed this week that Robert Woody Johnson, co-owner of the New York Jets and current ambassador to the UK, was investigated by a State Department watchdog after allegations that he made racist and sexist comments to staff. Diplomats told investigators that Johnson would make comments that they found both offensive and demoralizing. In 2018, prior to an event for Black History Month, Johnson reportedly asked if the audience would be, quote, a whole bunch of Black people. Three sources said Johnson questioned why the Black community would want a separate month to celebrate their history and that the, quote, real challenge was that Black fathers don't stay with their families. The House Foreign Affairs Committee will be looking into this matter. No comment yet from the NFL as to if they will hold their own investigation. Calgary police have arrested a man after a video surfaced of him allegedly spitting on an Asian woman and using a racial slur against her. Jessica Lau was skateboarding in the park when the man, now identified as Justin Williams, comes around a bend and spits at Lau before using the ethnic slur. The incident was caught on video by Lau's boyfriend. The Calgary police issued a release saying that Williams spit on three different individuals while using racial slurs and threatened someone that confronted him with a weapon. A former friend of Williams posted screenshots of conversations with him where he used racial and homophobic slurs. He has been charged with three counts of assault and one count of possession of a weapon dangerous to the public. He could also be charged with a hate crime as well as aggravated assault for spitting due to the COVID-19 epidemic. And then probably our worst person of the week, going out to Rancho Mirage, California. A white woman was caught on video repeatedly asking a landscaper at a city-owned housing complex for his papers. We actually have that video right here.
Can you move? I'm doing my work. Can you move? Can you move on my work area? And can you stay away? You're too close to me right now. And you're not wearing a mask. Can you step away?
Can you show me your papers?
Can you move away?
No, can you show me your papers?
Can you move away?
No, I want to see your papers.
You want to see my papers?
Yes.
Your immigration. Yeah.
Your papers, Mariposa.
And just a delightful woman there. Juan Carlos Andre Mendez posted the video to his Facebook page, which has led to an investigation by the city, while the property managers are conducting a separate investigation, which could lead to the woman's eviction. Mendez said this wasn't the first time she had interrupted his work. She also told him to go back to his country when he was working at the complex a few months back. So unfortunately, not a... lot of racism going away, as we've seen. Comments, Brian?
She's disgusting.
Yes, I would agree with that.
She's a disgusting human being. Am I right?
yes, without question. Okay. We do, however, have, before we leave This Week in Racism, we do have a little racism rewind.
Racism rewind.
So a couple of weeks ago, we previously covered the viral video from Lake Monroe near Bloomington, Indiana, where a group of white men attacked Vox Booker, stating that they were going to lynch him. Arrest warrants were finally issued this week against two men. Sean Purdy is facing one felony count each of criminal confinement, battery resulting in moderate bodily injury, and intimidation, while Jerry Edward Cox II is charged with one felony count, each of aiding, inducing, or causing criminal confinement, battery resulting in moderate bodily injury and intimidation, as well as two felony counts of battery. Ian Churko was also identified as being one of the men involved in the attack, but he has not been charged as of yet. So not quite sure when you have something like that on video, why it took so long for charges to come out against people, but at least
institutional racism.
I mean, I knew the answer. I just, you know, I was being a tad bit rhetorical. That's okay.
Just check your watch. Am I boring you somehow?
Are you trying to see
how much time you've killed so far?
I want to make sure it's not you messaging me something important.
Oh, every now and then I do. I sent you a naked picture of my buttocks 2 weeks ago during the podcast. Not only did you not break, but you didn't even comment.
See? And I didn't want to hurt you again, so I'm trying to stay on top of things.
I can't be a sensitive one.
Let's beef it out, shall we?
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
All right, Brian, what is bothering you this week?
Florida.
Ooh, not that surprising, but tell me why.
It's just a shit show. It is a shit show of a state. I don't know why. I'm obsessed with the coronavirus pandemic. I think it's literally a once in a lifetime, and not even, it's once in a century kind of thing.
Hopefully in a lifetime.
Fingers crossed. But Florida's just turned into such a shit show in terms of a sense of denial about what's going on in that world. With the Republican Governor DeSantis literally openly just ignoring anything that a medical expert says, pretending that we can just kind of play this down and just kind of deal with it and make the best of it. Meanwhile, these hospitals are literally flooded. Their ICUs are overrun. And he's standing there just insisting that everything is absolutely fine. He's surrounded by a wall of flames, absolutely nothing going on. And watching it just pisses me off because I know that this all could have been avoided.
Okay, so you're more against Florida compared to like Georgia, for example, where not only is the governor not doing anything, but he's actually suing the cities that are trying to do things to contain the spread.
This is going to be a hot take here.
All right. Hot take from Brian.
Georgia is just completely backwards.
Okay.
So they are still living in the 1800s. I don't expect much from them. Florida.
Okay. Florida.
No, Florida is a state that does have a lot of northerners that have relocated for the sunny weather. I know when I was living in Florida for a couple of years, they used to refer to the state as the sixth borough of New York City, because it wasn't long before you started talking to people before they started sitting there wondering, hey, where are you from? Where are you from? We know, you know, Manhattan, you're from Brooklyn, like where, and it was a thing.
Back then.
But I think the state should have a little bit more sense of an understanding of intelligence. Whereas Georgia, you know, I know they've got Hotlanta. I've watched The Real Housewives of Hotlanta. I understand that it is not all mountains and cousin kissers, but I have lower expectations for Georgia.
Now, what about California, which seems to be making actual efforts to control the spread, and yet their numbers continue to go up as well?
The culture there is much more easygoing, lighthearted, and I think, you know, it's a more of a vapid existence out there. So I think that people very much were for a very long time of the sense of, you know, I just don't want it to affect my life. I need to be able to go to the gym.
Right.
And I need to go into bars and I need to socialize and I need to go to Hollywood parties and be seen and whatnot. Also, you know, to hell with California. Am I allowed to curse?
I mean, I guess this is marked as mature content on both YouTube and Twitch. So people should know what to expect. So you should be able to curse.
Because I found myself during that last diatribe holding back a couple F-bombs when talking about Georgia.
You should be able to say whatever you want.
Well, fuck California. Those people had the fucking decency to watch the news back in March and April, and they would have seen forklifts coming out of hospitals, literally carrying corpses in body bags into refrigerated trucks. And if California had any sense of decency, they would have watched that and said, we need to get our shit together. Now they didn't.
So if you had refrigerated trucks and forklifts on your Ron and Brian bingo card, now is the time to mark those off. Brian has made the comment. I get what you're saying, my friend, and I'm 100% with you there.
What's your beef of the week, Ron?
So my beef, it's kind of, I guess, a literal 6 week rolling beef that is just all mashed together eventually, dealing with just like healthcare and insurance and things like that. Brian, you may or may not know, you know, you haven't really mentioned much. I lost my primary job back in March due to the pandemic. I know, shocking. Went on to my wife's healthcare plan, which, you know, I basically went from like Florida Blue, which is part of Independence Blue Cross, to Independence Blue Cross. So I'm like, yeah, how different could it be? So I do that Walgreens Alliance Prime mail order prescription so I can get my prescriptions 90 days at a time. I got allergies, you know, I'm going to need all my medicines. I call them, let them know I have new insurance, give them my new insurance. They're like, all right, you're all set. Go to my allergist like a week or two later. He prescribes me stuff, sends it in electronically. So I go online to place my order and I can't place my order. So I call up again and I'm like, what's the problem? They're like, well, we don't have any insurance information for you. I'm like, fantastic. So I give them my insurance information again. They're like, all right, wait a couple of days for the system to update. You should be fine. A couple of days go by, can't order anything. Call back again. They're like, oh, we have your insurance here, but there's a holdup on the prescription in the system for some reason. So just wait a few more days and see what happens. So like, I end up forgetting about it. Like a week goes by and I call them back again. And I'm like, what's the problem? They're like, well, we have two insurance policies listed for you. They're like Florida Blue. And I'm like, well, first you had none. Now you've got two. I'm like, well, let me give you the Independence Blue Cross again. They're like, yeah. And so they enter in again. They're like, oh, well, here's the problem. You can't use us for your prescriptions now. So now I'm like 2.5 weeks in, and I'm like, fantastic. So
can I ask, this prescription, is this for Viagra?
It is not. It's just for allergies, just pills and sprays.
Okay. I wanted to make sure that your love life with your sexy wife has not been disrupted because of this insurance snafu.
Not at all. So, all right, I log into my my IBC website, go into the mail order pharmacy, try and place an order. No way to do it there. They're like, oh, if you need to place an order, call this 800 number for the pharmacy we use. So I call the 800 number, talk to them. They're like, oh, yeah, we have your information here. But since you're with Independence Blue Cross, we can't generate a request to your doctor's office. Like, IBC doesn't do that. Like, everybody else we have, you could do this online. They're like, but no, you can try and do it through the portal. But everyone tells us the Independence Blue Cross portal doesn't work. So I'm like, fan-fucking-tastic. So now I have to go back to my doctor's office to have him send my prescriptions into my new pharmacy. And they are on reduced hours because of the pandemic. They're only open like Wednesday and Friday. So for 3 weeks in a row, I try and call to get someone on the phone. Each time I keep getting an answering machine like, we're very busy right now and can't take your call. So they're not busy enough to be open more than 2 days a week, but too busy to answer the phone. So finally, after 3 weeks of leaving messages with them, they finally returned my call today and said, I will, you know, potentially have prescriptions by the end of this week. I'll have to log on to see. If not, I'll probably just lose my fucking mind again.
When you said allergy medication, was that code for the cream that you apply to your penis?
No, that I order online. That comes to me direct from Thailand.
Okay. I'm going to say this. And first off, you have spoken on multiple occasions about how terrible your HR department is where you work. Not to harp on, you know, the value of human resources to the workplace. Hashtag HR lives matter. but it's the fact that, you know, your payroll is usually wrong. Your paycheck, your taxes, et cetera, et cetera. I'm actually not surprised that your shift from insurance to Cobra was also a disaster.
Oh, well, I didn't get my Cobra information for until I was out of work for like 3 months. So I never even went on Cobra. I just switched on to my new insurance with my wife's policy.
Got it. So what I'm trying to say is I think you have bad luck when it comes to this stuff.
Well, hopefully it's straightened out. We'll see.
But once again, I tie this all back, and this is where I sound like an absolute Marxist. But if we had universal health care, if we had single payer insurance, you would not have insurance that ties to your place of work. You would be able to have your insurance company, you would have your medical care, your prescription plan, regardless of where you chose to work.
Listen, you're talking sense, and I'm with you there. If you just could have an insurance plan and not change it when you change jobs, is it the Four Loko that's making you talk sense?
Baby, if I'm making sense, then I need another sip.
And the thing that drives me crazy is like everyone's argument on the right is like, well, you know, I how can I trust the government to run healthcare and run insurance and everything else? But it's like the private companies aren't doing it right. So why not give the government a shot? Because
of course,
I would like to find a person out there that is 100% happy with their insurance, 100% happy with their doctors, 100% happy with their healthcare. I don't think you could find one out there.
Government is never the answer. I'm a walking contradiction. What we need to do, this is what we need to do.
All right.
Is that we need to have a private sector that is heavily regulated.
Okay.
That needs to be held.
We have gotten no comments about you being a walking contradiction.
It's coming. genuinely speaking, I think that, you know, any type of big program that's handed to government is going to always be inefficient. It's going to be a total disaster. You know, even these, you know, how many millions of dollars of $1,200 checks were given out to dead people?
About 1.4 billion.
There you go. Like government takeover is never the answer. Private sector can do things better. The problem is the fact that you have a government that is overregulated in certain areas and completely lacks any legislative regulatory guts in others, in the sense that they are actually, you know, I believe that private insurance is the way to go, but there's absolutely nobody managing private insurance. It's literally just a shit show. The Congress, the people who are tasked with writing laws for the country are literally in the pockets of these insurance companies. So they're not going to do anything that is actually going to hold these insurance firms accountable.
So some quotes here. We'll pop them up real quick. Saying, Brian is flailing. That's coming from QNZ323. And I'm not quite sure how to take this. Rorty said, I am a walking cartoon, but they love Brian. I will say this. My hair has a very Jimmy Neutron look to it this evening for some reason. So perhaps that's why. But that's okay. I'm okay with that. So, Brian, as someone with the COVID antibodies, I really take your opinions to heart. So I will definitely listen to that. Let's talk masks, because that's the big thing. Everyone either wants to wear a mask or doesn't want to wear a mask. And we have many, many mask stories. And Brian, I believe he has gone to get some of our new merchandise, which he'll show off momentarily. But our first story, we go out to Michigan. This is Sean Ernest Ruiz. He apparently refused to wear a mask at a Quality Dairy in Windsor Township. People were telling him to put a mask on. He refused to do so. He then stabbed a fellow customer, a 77-year-old man, and then went on the run and was shot and killed by a sheriff's deputy whom he also tried to attack. And maybe the problem was he did not have one of our brand new Ron and Brian podcast face masks, which if you're watching us live or on the video, you can see Brian wearing right now, available at the web store at ronandbrianpodcast.com.
May I point something out?
Of course you might.
And I don't know how I sound. If it's very muffled, I'll take this off.
It's a little muffled.
But the problem with face masks is this. It's not the fact that you can't breathe. It's not the fact that you're going to create a carbon monoxide buildup that your oxygen levels will start to fail. It's the fact that people with prominent noses, such as myself, people, you know, of the ethnicity that I and the culture I may have come from, is that it is impossible not to wear a face mask and not realize that you have a gigantic fucking nose as this thing is just literally like screaming out on the mask.
Well, look, I can't tell thing. I can't tell from the photo. Ruiz may have had a predominant nose, but regardless, what he did have was at least one knife in one hand and two knives or two screwdrivers in the other hand when he got out of his car and approached the sheriff. And so they were felt no other way to handle it but to shoot him and kill him. You would think that's horrible. Not the only mask-related death by police this week. This one was in Halliburton Highlands on a Wednesday morning. Apparently, there was a 73-year-old man who had allegedly assaulted individuals at a Value Mart grocery store. The man left the grocery store in a vehicle. Officer started to follow it, followed it to his residence. Apparently, outside the man's home, there was an interaction, and two officers discharged their firearms, killed the man also. So is it worth, I mean, again, cops do love to kill people. That is kind of the theme. But this was in Canada. So, I mean, America, Canada. But again, it's crazy to me that people get this pissed off about masks to the point where they are willing to get killed by a cop.
Okay. I'm very conflicted here.
Okay.
you've got people that are refusing to wear masks. Bad. Mm-hmm. You've got cops that are killing people. Bad.
Also bad, yes.
But in this instance, is it so bad?
I mean, it seems like the cops are just speeding up the process that the COVID would do.
Yes.
They're also helping to fight the spread, and they're also keeping someone out of an ICU bed by just killing them right off the bat.
Right. Well,
yes, I agree with you. Killing a citizen is wrong. I feel like you're really stemming spread and freeing up a hospital bed.
Not a citizen if it's up in Canada. That is considered an undocumented immigrant who has not crossed the border yet.
All right. Not the only person. Now, this person didn't get killed, but this is in Tumwater, Washington, which really sounds like in the middle of fucking nowhere. But apparently, a man who was told to put on a mask inside of a Fred Meyer pulled a gun on a shopper. According to prosecutors, the victim told police he was shopping in the produce section when he saw a man not wearing a mask. The victim told police he approached the man and told him, put on a mask like the rest of us. And then a man said that he thought the COVID-19 pandemic was a hoax. They got in an argument. Prosecutor said the man pulled his .22 caliber revolver from its holster, pointed at the victim's sternum, and said, get the fuck away, and threatened to shoot him. Police showed up. He would not disarm himself, and the police took him to the ground without killing him this time.
I had to get a frozen mug because this is starting to get warm.
Ooh.
And if there is anything grosser than Four Loko hard seltzer, it's warm Four Loko hard seltzer.
I maybe can give you something a little bit grosser than that. A woman urinating on the floor in a Verizon store. She wasn't wearing a mask.
Hold on. Did you start off by saying that this was a gross story?
Sorry, I forget. That's kind of your, I'm not going to kink shame you, but I get it, Brian. You might like this one.
All I'm saying is that, you know, I support people believing in what they believe in, as long as they wear a mask.
Well, this woman would not wear a mask. She would not leave the Verizon store and apparently decided to just kind of pee all over the place. In a 911 call, you hear the dispatch operator tell an officer that people are refusing to leave, not wearing a mask. And then about 3 minutes later, the same operator tells the officer they're calling back and advising that the female is pulling down her pants and is now urinating inside the business. A little extreme.
Why wasn't there a cop there to shoot her?
I guess since they were not armed, there wasn't enough reason for them to kill them, unfortunately.
When you want a cop, they're never there. Isn't that the saying? Why wasn't there a cop with a fucking taser, with a gun to literally see this woman? I mean, also keep in mind, this was not a T-Mobile store. Like peeing, you can pee on the floor of a T-Mobile store and get away with it. They expect that. They literally open up after they put down the plastic tarps all over the floor because they understand that their client base is going to be urinating on the floor. Correct. Throughout the day. They may have a few defecations, but you know what? They call that, you know, two for Tuesday.
Right.
But at a Verizon store, that's where you're expecting a little higher level clientele.
A little bit. And not quite the case.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you judge people based on their cell phone carrier?
Not so much, no. Because I've definitely switched around and all companies suck ass. So
listen, I listened to that Patreon episode. I know that you've switched around. I get that.
People would have to subscribe to the Patreon to go back to listen to some old episodes to find out what that's all about.
We don't know what you're talking about. But I will just say that I do judge people based on their cell phone carrier.
There you go. Can I throw up a couple of quick comments that we have coming through here in our different channels?
Since wait, listen, you're a 51% owner. You are the one who makes.
Yeah. All right. Brian fucks a fleshlight, which we know. I like
you
that. I now know who Rorty is, so I'm okay with this. Ron, your toupee looks almost as good as your high school hair. I will say, 49 years of age, still my natural hair, still my natural hair color, but I will need to. I actually found a picture of my helmet head from prom in my senior year. I might have to share that on the Ron and Brian Facebook page so people can see that. It is.
Why aren't you posting it right now?
I don't have, I got five screens going here, Brian. There's only so much I can do.
And that's why we respect you.
Listen, if the screens were sized based on the amount of work that each of us puts into the podcast, it would look like this. But I'm nice enough to keep the screens the same size.
Technically, if one were to measure by the pixels, they would know that Ron's picture is 51% of the screen and mine is only 49%. I thought that I was going to get 51% ownership if Ron was able to put his name first. Unfortunately, I did not read the operating agreement properly and signed my name at the end of it so that I am a 49% owner of this podcast. So that's why I identify with the working man. You know, you say the working man is a stiff, but he's not a stiff. The working man is the hero. He's who the man you look up to.
All right, let's keep going on masks, though. We got a couple more mask stories, and then we can leave masks alone for a bit. A Florida father.
What about that movie with Cher, Mask? Now, do you think that movie about Rocky Dennis, do you think, and by the way, kudos to me for remembering Rocky Dennis on the fly.
Kind of impressed.
Do you believe that movie was predicting the oncoming corona? Because we have not seen what a corona baby looks like. You know, it is too soon into the pandemic. Do you think it's possible that the babies that are born already with the virus in their system, do you think that they are born with a 2-foot-long head?
Only time will tell, Brian. Only time will tell.
Do you think that those physical ailments could have been avoided if Cher had just won and it wore an amazing Ron and Brian podcast face mask, which you can obtain?
No, so it might have been difficult. But regardless, let's talk about.
Do you believe in life after COVID?
A Florida father contracted COVID-19 from his son, who ignored his stepmother's wishes to stay home to avoid picking up the deadly virus, leaving him hospitalized for nearly 3 weeks. Apparently, the stepmother would plead with her stepson, you know, when you go out, wear your mask, social distance. But the son would go to parties, take the mask off, and then gave his father the COVID. Very sad.
Okay. I got to tell you on that one, I hope that kid lives a life of regret. Because he was old enough. He was old enough to know not to do what he was fucking doing. That kid was 21. He knew that he was living in a state. And I mentioned, did I not mention Florida earlier this week?
You did.
This week as my beef of the week. Absolutely, Florida is a shit show. And this is a kid in a state where coronavirus is rampant, sat there and said, you know what? I live with my family, but I'm going to go. I'm going to socialize. I'm going to go to parties. I am not going to wear a mask. And he brought that plague into his home. And his father is...
His father is recovering, but he was. I mean, again, and it's always hit or miss. You never know. People look like they're turning a corner, and sometimes, you know, they don't always end up with the antibodies.
And as somebody with the coronavirus antibodies flowing through my blood, I'm actually growing mildly concerned that I do not have the lifelong pass from worry about this virus that I did think I had just 2 months ago.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. Well, we're still down in Florida, Brian. We're at Disney World now, where they have banned eating and drinking while walking in the park because too many people were walking around without masks on. Disney World is the petri dish of America right now. And the fact
Hold on a second.
They insist on remaining open boggles my mind.
But don't you see the subtle commentary here, which is the fact that people in Walt Disney World are literally eating and drinking all the fucking time to the point that they're that it basically was an excuse for them not to ever wear a mask.
I don't get the Disney attraction to begin with. I mean, I went when I was 11. I don't know that I'd go now.
If only we had a listener right now who was a big proponent of Disney World and could go into the comments section right now and defend his or her stance. I think that, you know, it could be something that we would benefit from. I mean, right now there is no one here who can defend what I feel it, once again, bringing it full circle.
Yes.
Fucking Florida. Fucking trash state.
Has updated their website, just telling people you need to wear your masks. The only time you can take them off is when you are eating and drinking. And otherwise, you know, you need to be, if you're eating and drinking, you need to be standing, you need to be social distancing. So, I don't know. I feel the numbers are just going to continue to skyrocket in Florida.
Okay. Well,
I think what really, I don't know if you saw this picture of the boats, up by Niagara Falls this past week, but I did. If you go to Niagara Falls, you can get on a boat. You can go see the falls from the water. There's a boat on the U.S. side. There's a boat that runs on the Canada side. And they took a picture of the two boats passing each other in the water. The U.S. boat, people literally packed in shoulder to shoulder right next to each other. While Canada,
200 people on the boat.
While Canada, just maybe 5 people on the boat. Everyone's spread apart. And it's like, I mean, to put things in perspective, even Donald Trump tonight announced that they are not going to do the GOP convention in Florida. And he had a hard on over doing this convention. They were initially going to do it in Charlotte, and they moved it from Charlotte to Jacksonville because Charlotte wouldn't give them as many people to attend. And, you know, then with Jacksonville, people were saying, I'm not going. And so even Trump had to say, we can't go to Florida right now. So the man who wants to have rallies and wants to have events admitted that Florida right now is too dangerous for him to have his convention next month.
No, but something happened this week. Something happened with Donald Trump this week, which was that I believe it finally cracked through the multiple levels of denial that he has operating, in the sense that there was definitely a pivot, which is my new favorite word. I don't know if you've realized it,
no,
but I love saying that he pivoted. From a sense of this isn't bad, everything's going to be fine, this is a hoax, it's overblown, Fauci is an alarmist, he suddenly now is wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
He now is selling masks on his website, or he produced masks to give away to his supporters. I don't know if he's actually selling them.
Oh, you know, he's selling them.
He sold out America, so the fucker will sell anything. He brought back his coronavirus daily briefings, which has gone splendid, in my opinion. Now he's canceling the Florida portion of the Republican convention. Like, there absolutely is a realization that's taken place in the White House, whether it's in his mind, whether it's, you know, within his campaign, but it is the realization that if you continue the way you're going, we are guaranteeing you're going to lose. You have to acknowledge, you have to take this somewhat more serious. I mean, the fact that this man who for months, I mean, even as recently as a week ago, when he was giving a interview to Chris Wallace of Fox News, sat there and said, this is just going to go away. And people are going to prove
his cognitive test just really snapped him back to reality.
Person, no, the cognitive
woman, man, camera, TV.
I love the way he breathes out as he's like, camera, TV.
You want to play the Trump breathing sound effect when he did that. I forget which broadcast it was. Someone took all of his breathing and cut it up.
That's odd, because that's exactly what I sounded like 2 nights ago when I was abusing my flashlight.
So you mentioned the Trump Chris Wallace interview. You mentioned you wanted to play a little game. You were going to read some lines and have me determine if they were truth or a lie.
Now, what I did was I watched that hour-long interview. Okay. So first off, I deserve a medal because it was absolutely painful. Now, what I did was I transcribed certain comments that Donald Trump said during the course of this interview, which was on Fox News, his preferred media outlet.
I think OAN might be his preferred outlet. I think Fox
that has not OAN has not really achieved a level of a media outlet. It is still basically it has the same level of respectability that you and I have.
Okay.
So exactly. So I transcribed it, and then what I did was I researched all of the whole different things to see.
All right. And then what?
And now what we're looking at is we're at the point now where I'm going to read you some of the things that I have documented that Donald Trump said. And what I want you to do is I want you to tell me if these are truths or these are lies.
All right. I will do my best.
Direct quotes from Donald Trump earlier this week.
Okay.
Truth, lie.
Okay. All right.
All right. All right. We're going to start with the softball.
All right.
If we didn't test, you wouldn't be able to show that chart. If we tested half as much, those numbers would go down.
I mean, that it feels true to me.
It's a lie. The number of tests you have don't create cases. The virus identifies them and creates the cases, and the tests only simply identify the cases that are already in existence.
All right. All right. I'll try and do better.
You're 0-1. You're 0-1.
All right.
I know you can do better. Here's another one. Look, I take responsibility always for everything because it's ultimately my job too.
Listen, I mean, that's a pretty stand-up statement. I'm going to go true on that.
That's a lie. On March 13th, Donald Trump was quoted as saying, "I don't take responsibility at all."
Damn it. All right. Well, give me one more because I'm not doing too good at this, but give me one more.
All right. You want one more?
Just one more.
All right. We find cases and many of those cases heal automatically.
I mean, a lot of people don't go to the doctor or the ICU. I feel that's true.
That is a lie. 140,000 Americans have died literally within the past 4 months of coronavirus. So a lot of a majority of these cases do heal themselves, but they also account for a lot of suffering on the part of the people that are infected with the disease. And 140,000 Americans have died unnecessarily from the coronavirus.
Well, I will say this. I did not do as well, but take a watch of that Chris Wallace interview because he really he came prepared. Much more prepared.
Donald Trump, that is.
And Chris Wallace just really, it was, a lot of people were calling it a campaign commercial for Joe Biden because that's how poorly the president looked.
But Chris Wallace is one of the few mainstream news people who somehow jumped to Fox News. So yeah, I do believe, what was that?
He's actually a journalist.
What's a journalist? Somebody who just like writes lies fancier than you and I do? I mean, let's be honest.
Someone who actually does his research rather than just trying to yell louder than the person next to him.
Oh, Chris Wallace came with facts. This was the first time that I have seen since I can't remember. And literally with the pandemic and the lockdown, we're talking about a couple of weeks since I can't remember. But it's the fact that Chris Wallace openly corrected Trump to his face, where Trump would say a lie and Chris Wallace would correct him and say, "That's actually not true. This is true." To the point where Trump stopped the interview a few times to speak to somebody off camera to provide him with backup for what he, for a statement that he had made.
Well, I think more reporters need to do that, not just with the president. I think with all politicians, because you have so many politicians on the left and the right that put out their own narrative and BS, and people just need to call them on it right off the bat.
I think that one of the things that is, you know, it's ultimately it's the people in his circle that need to sit there and start correcting him. And I feel like this week is when it happened, because he definitely, he was a different person this week in terms of his approach to the virus, his approach to the pandemic was a much different than it was a week ago.
Listen,
and what worries me is that now that he has pivoted,
yes,
now he's going to be speaking a language that is more in line with what reality is. And to the people that are on the fence with him, are my fears that they're going to be more likely to say, oh, now Trump gets it, we're going to be okay. He's going to handle this now.
You know, it's possible. And listen, I was watching his press conference earlier tonight. You know, he started talking about baseball, and he has this ability, like when he's talking about something that everybody can agree on, like he has this ability to be very, you know, almost charming to an extent, where he's talking about baseball and his love for the game and everything else. And I feel in that moment, he probably connected more with all the people in that press room than he has in the last 4 years. It's
right.
All this other bullshit. Like, you know, Tucker Carlson posted about ratings earlier today, and like Trump retweeted it, like, well, how much did MAGA have to do with that? Like, he can't let anything not be about him. And
it all and has to be about him.
I think once he gets deeper into the election cycle, and if he still continues to lose, like Fox News, and again, Fox News polls are somewhat biased in general because of who they ask, just like CNN
right. Pulls
bias to the other side. But Fox News showing Joe Biden with double-digit leads in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Minnesota. And so if these numbers keep coming in the way that they have been, you have to imagine there has to be some sort of meltdown between now and November 3rd. He can't keep
We can only hope.
He can't keep this up forever.
Yeah, we can only hope for it.
So some big losses in civil rights history this week. Heading over to celebrity obituaries, we lost three civil rights icons this week, starting off with the Reverend Cordy Tyndall Vivian. He passed away at his home in Atlanta at the age of 95 for natural causes. Was deep into the ministry, studied theology at American Baptist College in Nashville. He worked alongside Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. He was part of the executive staff of the SCLC and named him National Director of Affiliates in 1963. He confronted Sheriff Jim Clark on the steps of the Selma, Alabama courthouse while participating in a voter registration drive. So, you know, one of these guys who really put himself out there and was really part of getting, you know, the civil rights legislation passed. On the same day that we lost him, we also lost Representative John Lewis, dying at the age of 80. He had been battling cancer for a long time, but he had stayed in Congress as long as he possibly could. It was very emotional to see all of the comments coming out. Again, took Donald Trump about 8 hours before he even made a mention of it.
But hold on a second. But I will give Trump credit on this, because he wasn't the same pity bitch that he did for McCain.
True.
He literally raised holy hell over the idea of acknowledging in any way that we should acknowledge McCain's death.
Right.
Whereas here, at least he sat there and probably said, I don't like people of color. I don't like people that are Democrats. I don't like people that have publicly gone up against me. But at least here he had the wherewithal to say, you know what, let's put out a statement and let's acknowledge the importance of this man. It's almost like Donald Trump was sitting here thinking this way, and then he pivoted.
He pivoted a little bit.
He did a pivot.
But you know, John Lewis, you know, he always pushed the concept of good trouble. You know, sometimes you got to cause a little bit of trouble to make change, but cause the good trouble. Don't cause trouble. That's for a bad thing. Cause trouble, right. That, you know, is going to hopefully make an impact in the future. You know, again, he was one of the people that spoke at the march in Washington. They actually required him to tone down his speech prior to giving it, that he apparently was going to go completely scorched earth with his comments that day. And they actually walked it back a bit before they allowed him to go speak. And with his passing, all six of the speakers that were there that day at the March of Washington have now passed away.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm sad.
Are you doubting me?
No, you know what it is? It's more of just a testament to the passage of time. It's the fact that I don't want to realize just how much time has passed. I don't want to think that that was, what was that, 60 years ago at this point?
It was about 50 years ago.
50 years ago?
50 years ago.
Don't blame me. I've been drinking Four Loko.
And then,
but it's just the idea that 50 years ago, we had such an important moment, and the people that were there that were that really made the change that we needed as a country are no longer here to tell that story to the people currently making the change on the streets of Portland, Oregon.
There you go. And then one last passing to mention yesterday, James Charles Evers, older brother of civil rights icon Medgar Evers, passed away in Mississippi at the age of 97. He was heavily involved. His brother, as many people know, was the head of the Mississippi NAACP chapter, who was killed in a sniper in the early 60s. But Charles Evers was considered one of the pioneers of the civil rights movement. He became the NAACP's state voter registration chairman in 54, became the first black mayor in Mississippi in 1969 when he was elected mayor of Fayette. Just really heavily involved in politics right up until the time of his death. So, three civil rights leaders gone in 1 week. Ironically enough, as our civil rights continue to be stripped away in cities like Portland and Chicago, Brian, you've mentioned it. Interesting to see police officers, members of the Department of Homeland Security are now tear gassing the mothers that are protesting out in Portland. You see these mothers in bicycle helmets to protect themselves from, you know, the batons and everything else. And then they just spray them with tear gas and pepper spray and things of that nature. Thoughts on what's been going on in Portland, what we expect to see in Chicago, and what we expect to see in other cities around the country as we go up to Election Day.
So these face masks are available in our web store.
Brian, are you afraid to comment on the Department of Homeland Security?
I signed the contract. I don't know whether you appreciate the legal bind I'm in right now. There was an anti-defamation clause in that contract, which I do feel is enforceable.
I'm telling you, government, they can't sign contracts. So I think you are fine. And I don't think the government's watching right now.
In all honesty, I'm going to say this. I think that I have a lot of respect for what's going on in Portland, and I'll tell you why. Because the protests have died in America. People were up in arms over the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I believe, I like that look you give me of like, uh-oh, you're getting sloppy. I recognize it. And that's the worst part, is that we've done it enough times that I recognize it in your eyes, and I love your eyes. They're beautiful eyes. But it's the fact that that city has stayed true to the cause. Those people, the people that are protesting, they're not going home. They're not hiding. They're still sitting there saying, we demand change. We want society to be better. The fact that Donald Trump is now manufacturing this Democratic run city law and order argument to literally justify the belief in Republican-run states that he needs to be reelected. You know, no offense, but his voting base is not the coasts. He knows this.
Right.
Yet he is sitting there arguing that we need to send federal troops, Department of Homeland Security, miscellaneous agencies. For the most part, these are not uniformed officers, not identifying what agency they work for. These literally are camouflaged, I want to say military personnel who have now decided to take a offensive stance in Portland. And I'm not even going to address the arresting of people off the streets in literally black vans. Like that's a whole conspiracy outrage that I have, but I'm not even going to get to that point. It's the fact that Donald Trump is threatening to send federal agents into these cities where he is not popular to somehow sell the message that there is anarchy in the streets of America, so that people who are living in some of the most docile states of the union will somehow feel that they need him to protect themselves.
So are you saying maybe you shouldn't have signed that contract?
They were willing to pay a lot. And that is the thing where I think you and I need to start conferencing prior to the podcast, because I think you and I are of different minds when it comes to who we're willing to take money from. Like, it was your idea. I know it was your idea when you were like, hey, face masks, let's sell them for $15 on our website, ronandbryanpodcast.com. Click store. You're going to go to the web store. This is this is cotton. Look what it does to my nose.
It's very comfortable looking.
It's breathable. You're not going to die from it. But it's
the one thing.
I feel like maybe I need your stamp of approval before I go to a certain level of negotiate. Like maybe I need to reel it back a little bit.
We'll talk about it moving forward. One thing that still stands out to me this past week in Portland is the Navy veteran that was out protesting and went up to speak to some of the DHS officers, and they just laid into him with batons and pepper spray. But what was funny is like this kid goes up to him with a baton and like just cracks him across the arm, doesn't move. Cracks him again across the arm, doesn't move. Cracks him on the leg, doesn't move. And another guy finally, you know, nails him with some pepper spray. So he turns around, but then just flips him off as he walks away. That was 53-year-old Christopher David actually suffered a broken hand. So he is actually, injured at this point, but still out there protesting, calling for more veterans to come down and join him on the protest lines.
Do we know what kind of insurance he has? Like, does he have Florida Independent Blue Cross Blue Shield? Like, can we help him with his medical bills? He
probably has USSSA.
Okay. So what you're saying is that the government that broke his arm is now paying to have his arm taken care of.
Ironically enough, yes.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's why this country is fucked.
Anything else this week, Brian, or have we covered everything we wanted to on the main podcast?
Baseball is back, motherfuckers.
Oh, did you see the first pitch Dr. Fauci threw out?
No, I see that there's a rain delay right now in Washington.
Fauci threw out about as good of a first pitch as you would expect from an immunologist. Just about 15 feet left to home plate. So
was it as bad as 50 Cent?
I would say worse than 50 Cent, not as bad as Papa Bowie.
Because 50 Cent literally had one of the worst ones. It was better.
I would put Fauci as bad as Chris Rock, his first pitch.
Didn't he practice?
You would think. And he's an athlete. He played basketball in school.
God damn it, Fauci. Though I did see today that Donald Trump is throwing out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium in a game, I think, next month.
Now, we have We have a comment here, which I can totally get on board with. Hold on. Brian is totally disinterested. Brian's pointing rant. And that is true, because I'm not even sure what Brian is ranting about at this point. But I know when he points, he's being very serious. And I know the Four Loko has kicked in.
What I do like, in all honesty, is I can tell when you have lost interest in listening to me, because it's a face you put on. It's a plastic smile. Like, usually, like, what I can, and this is, you know, we're opening the curtain. We're letting people see what goes on behind the scenes. But what I see is that usually during the podcast, when I'm talking, you're setting up the next story. You're setting up the next article. I can see it. And every now and then I literally can see through the reflection on your eyeglasses that there's nothing going on in your on your monitor. There's no change there. And I see this look on your face.
You know, I let it go for some time because, you know.
And then this is what you always say. This is what you say. Well, all right now. Well, and then you turn your head slightly, and then you literally move the subjects. I feel like it's a sign of success when that has happened.
There you go. Anything additional for this?
There you go. That's another of your dismissive comments that you make when I'm in the middle, when I'm ending a rant, and you want to, and you, wait a second. Is that a line that Ron uses when he needs to pivot?
It's a pivot. Hold on. I like to do it in the segue.
So this is the Ron segue. And there you go.
And there you have it. And there it is. Brian,
I love it.
Once again, anything else to cover in this main edition of the podcast?
Listen, I have a lot of stories that I would like to talk about. I mean, I don't know if we can get to it in this podcast. I'd like to talk about Gwyneth Paltrow talking about how she learned how to give oral sex. Can we do that now or no?
I think maybe that'll have to, that sounds like an After Dark kind of story to me.
Really?
It does. I mean, and just call me crazy, but it feels that way.
No. What about Mike Tyson going back to fighting?
I think that's an After Dark story.
What about a man stealing a 50 pound dildo?
Definitely an After Dark story.
Then I got nothing. I got nothing here. We're going to have to take it to After Dark now. And if you're not watching live on Twitch, you are not going to be able to enjoy the next 30 plus minutes of exclusive content that you will only be able to see if you are a Twitch subscriber tonight, or you are a Patreon of a variety of levels.
Yes. And if you want great swag like stickers, magnets, shot glasses, hats, not masks, though. Masks are only on the web store. But you can go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. Upper right-hand corner is how you can become a patron. Join our Patreon. Get access to this exclusive content, which we are sharing one night only in about 15 minutes on Twitch, 9:30. I'll probably still be drinking this Four Loko because I cannot get through it for the love.
Hold on.
Hold on.
I just finished my Four Loko. Take a good gulp of it, and I want to see if you don't flinch, because
I take a small sip of it.
This is fucking nasty at room temperature. And I want people to understand the sacrifice that Ron and I make every week is the fact that there's an air conditioner no more than 6 feet away from me that literally would pump out amazingly cool air. But I turned that off for this hour so that you are distracted not by a rumbling noise exterior, but the soothing sounds of my voice.
All right. Brian, are we ready to get on out here and prepare for After Dark?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us this week. We will catch you next week on this podcast. We will be live again next week. And we will be live on the After Dark very shortly.